All right, we're going to head back to Busch Stadium and bring in MLB senior writer Barry Bloom. And, Barry, thanks for joining us again today. How are you?
I'm great. Always great to be on.
Yeah, you know, and I wanted to get you on today, especially a little bit of your reaction of last night, just watching the game of Bumgarner last night against Wainwright. And, again, it's Wainwright and Kershaw, Wainwright and Bumgarner. And Wainwright, again, didn't have his stuff. What did you see last night?
Well, I think we said at the end of yesterday's segment that this series is going to come down to who executes and fundamentals, and the Cardinals just didn't make the plays yesterday. I mean, as bad as Wainwright was pitching, and he was shaky, still, you know, you have an error at third base by Carpenter. Colton Wong fumbles an exchange on a play at second base that could have led to a double play. The kid Gretschik hits the wall out in right field, and the ball drops out of his glove on Sandoval's double. All those things in such a close game contributed to the Giants winning the game. And, of course, the fact that, you know, Bumgarner basically has been lights out this year, and you hand it back over to those two guys in the bullpen at the end of the game, and the Cardinals just didn't have a chance.
Mm. Bumgarner, and again, Barry, we talked about this on the pregame yesterday. You know, he's setting all sorts of records, and you've watched a lot of playoff baseball. Where do you rank him up with some of the great lefties you've seen in playoff baseball?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, the greatest lefty I ever saw is Whitey Ford, and Koufax is right up there. I mean, I've been joking about this. You know, I'm through with the Mike Trout, Mickey Mantle, Koufax, Kershaw comparisons. You know, these guys never had the lousy postseason series that those two guys had this year. I mean, Mantle still has the record with 18 lifetime World Series homers, and Ford still has the record with the most shutout innings in a row in a World Series. You know, Rivera eclipsed that in the playoffs over the course of time.
Right.
But to me, I don't like these bastardization of the World Series records in comparison to the postseason records. They just don't matter as much to me. Do it in the World Series and do it over time, and then let's talk.
You know, it's funny you say that, and get into a whole discussion about it, but I used to believe exactly what you said until I started realizing today the depth of coverage of these athletes today, that maybe the World Series of Whitey Ford against the Reds in 1961, you know, didn't quite have the coverage of what goes on even in a division playoff or a championship series playoff that we have today. It's enormous. So maybe the pressure on these players sort of, can compare with what happened years ago. I've sort of come to that conclusion. Maybe I should consider it.
Well, you know, if you go back and you look at everything has its place and time, and having grown up in New York and seen a lot of it, I mean, there was a lot of pressure on these guys for the media at that time, especially in New York. I mean, when Roger Maris was going after Babe Ruth's record along with Mantle in 61, photographers were allowed on the field every at bat.
Right.
And they were surrounding him. The reporters were relentless. His hair fell out. He got hate mail. I mean, just much like Aaron in 1974 when he was going after Ruth, getting all of that for obviously different reasons. So I just think that you have to place it in that time. And I just think those ball players who only had to play in the World Series and didn't have all these rounds of playoffs to get through, you know, I probably had it much easier. You just win the pennant, go to the World Series. But still, to me, there's a distinction between hitting 18 home runs in the World Series and 18 home runs across like three or four playoff series in a year. And same thing with Ford. I mean, great with Bumgarner, all these shutout innings on the road. But, you know, Ford did it across a couple of World Series, and the Yankees, you know, were winners in at least one of them.
No, I agree. No, I understand the point. I'm just sort of coming around to it. I wonder if Mantle had Twitter in those days, how many followers Mantle would have had, and whether they'd be tweeting to him.
Oh, my God, could you imagine?
They'd be tweeting to him every day. Mickey, come on! All right, hit right-handed. Don't hit left-handed.
Well, not only that, I mean, can you imagine the the selfies in the in the clubs in New York with Mantle and Martin and all those guys in the Copacabana. I mean, they created their own trouble even without all that.
All right, let's jump ahead to Pablo Sandoval. You wrote about him today, and you gave a sort of an impression. Will he be here next year? Will he not? What was your take on Pablo Sandoval?
You know, I just don't think he's going to be here next year. You know, I gave him the chance twice to answer that question, and he ducked it. You know, if you look at it really with his body type and it, what the type of long-term contract he's going to want, at 28 years old, he's probably going to need to go to the American League where they can DH him sometimes, they can have him play third base. When he gets to be 32, 33, he'll be like fielder pull holes, and these guys are breaking down already, and they're going to need those spots. I just don't see how the Giants can offer him any more than 3 years. And if somebody else is out there offering him 5 or 6, he's probably going to take it.
You're impressed with him, though, his ability to hit during the playoffs, the different rounds of the playoffs and the World Series.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm impressed with any player that can rise to the occasion. You know, it's a mundane regular season. You have to get into it day in, day out. There's a routine to it. And as they say now, a much larger sample size over the course of 162 games. But to these guys who just rise to the occasion when all the money's on the line, it's like you used to say about Reggie Jackson and even Willie. They used to call them Buck because if you threw the money on the field, they were there to go out and get it. Magic Johnson, they used to call Magic Johnson Buck. Same thing. Michael Jordan, these guys rise to the occasion in their various sports, and I think Sandoval's one of those guys. It's just fun to watch.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Nothing seems to bother him in the spotlight, and I thought the ball he hit off of Wainwright last night, the bat speed, and just watching it on TV here, and did you, and you were there, you saw it. Did it look, I thought maybe it was going out, and Grichuk, of course,
well, also,
made the great catch.
He had to reach out for it, and, you know, Matheny, which I didn't get a chance to use the quote, but, you know, he said that what makes him so dangerous is that you can't throw him balls off the plate, in the plate. I mean, he's going to go after everything. So, and he just reaches out and gets the barrel of the bat on it, like Bochy said. So, you know, that makes a very dangerous hitter because you really can't set up to the guy. There's no weaknesses when he's going well.
Hey, what do you think about the Cardinals? I know it's one game, and, you know, these playoff series take on a life of their own. You just have to win one, as I always say, the Giants. Just win one, and, you know, you come back tomorrow, and you win another one, and you're back. What do you think about this Cardinal team right now?
Well, I going back to the Dodgers series, I just didn't think the Cardinals won that series. I thought the Dodgers beat themselves. They made too many mistakes. They had leads. They had the two Kershaw games. If they had won those games and had a bullpen to help Kershaw out, as, you know, Bunch does here with the giant bullpen, he could pull Bumgarner out and get that extra out in the eighth inning. If the Dodgers had it, they could have pulled Kershaw out. You know, if they had a Strickland, yeah, he would have been out fair pitching in the seventh inning of both of those games. And maybe the Dodgers would have won that series. Now, that's not taking anything away from the Cardinals, who essentially dug in and took advantage of all that. But I look at them, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday. To me, they're about as faceless a Cardinal team as I've ever seen. You know, nobody ever heard of the right fielder. You know, Bochy in a Q&A with Lowell Cohn the other day in a press conference couldn't even pronounce his name. I mean, you have a right fielder, you have a second baseman who's there for the first time all year, who got picked off a base and lost a World Series game for them last year. You don't have Pujols and Freeze anymore. You don't even have Chris Carpenter, who was really a stalwart of this team, you know, even with all his injuries, and he was still on the team in 2011 that won the World Series. Mm. So, I mean, there's a lot of changes in this team, not the least of which is, you know, Tony La Russa is not managing it anymore. And, you know, I just think this is probably the most mediocre of all their teams.
Well, hey, Barry, thanks so much for taking the time. And it's going to be a lot of fun to watch this one today. Jake Peavy, you've known him for many, many years. And if this thing goes on and we're talking to you next weekend, we'll talk a lot about Peavy, I'm sure. But Peavy and
right.
Lance Lynn, you've known Peavy a long time. You have.
Yeah, since he was 20 years old, yeah.
Wow. All right, thanks so much as always, and we'll catch up with you.
Well, I'll see you next week in San Francisco.
Oh, good. See you on Tuesday. Thanks, Barry. All right, that is Barry Bloom, MLB.com senior writer. Boy, covered a lot today, huh?